Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. My next guest, during COVID, started two businesses, one alongside with her son, and is managing chronic illnesses and realized that she has ADHD and ASD and is waiting her diagnosis now. So sit back, relax, and grab your favorite beverage and let's learn more about her. See you there.
I want to believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition till it's popping out the box that I don't fit in. I want to believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my
It's just that.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Today I'm joined with Amy Mendel. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet
Thank
you.
you for having me.
Not a problem. So let's start off with tell me a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Amy Mandel. I'm a single mum based in Leeds in the UK. I have two businesses. So I'm a VA and a coach for office, A&T Office Admin Solutions. And then I've got a crystal business, which my son started through COVID. He's turning 13 near Christmas, and that's a tinge bit of sparkle. I've recently become a co-author to a number one best-selling book on Amazon called Beyond the Ordinary, which is a collaboration book by Mandy Nicholson that's got 30 neurodivergent women that have come together to tell their real life stories. I'm a crystal enthusiast, hence the crystal business, and I'm a bit of a crazy cat lady, as a little interesting fun fact.
Okay, so what made you realize that you may be autistic?
So it started with COVID and TikTok blowing up and the awareness videos, and I would scroll on a night. I was classed as clinically vulnerable. So in the UK, we had 7 or 8 months where we were shielding, locked away from everyone. So in that time, there were a lot of time with me and my son. And I'd scroll on videos and he'd be laid behind me watching them as well. And the more that came up about ADHD, the more he was like, they're talking about you. Like everything on that list you do or like symptom wise. So I went and obviously did a bit of deep diving like we like to do and find all the facts out. And the more that I've learned, the more that I've realized that I'm potentially OD, ADHD, bit of both. I like to keep myself to myself. I like to be organized and have structure. But then, if you came to my house, you would see chaos. But I know where everything is. And I think that's a common trait the more people that I speak to. So I'm getting to a place now where at 37, I'm finally understanding myself and learning different techniques and strategies that I can implement to help build my business. And with that, I'm wanting to share that knowledge and help other people start and grow their businesses too. I found that the chapter in the book, Beyond the Ordinary, is very much about me growing up and trying to be employed. I was employed for a lot of years and every meeting that would go on around me, even with managers that I didn't know, I would instantly believe that it was about me and the anxiety that that caused, and the going home and crying on a night and not understanding why I felt like that is a big deal. And I think people that are in that place now where they're opening their eyes and seeing what's going on around them and are realizing the potential that they are neurodivergent, I don't want people to think it's a bad thing. When I got diagnosed with fibromyalgia, for example, I took that as a positive because I'd spent so many years scared to go take my son to the park, go and have a kick around through fear of being laid up in pain. The fibro diagnosis was very much one that I'm going to be in pain regardless what I do. So I might as well use my time and make memories rather than laying on a sick bed. I actually bought myself a stair lift for my 30th birthday through fear that my son was going to get up one morning and I wouldn't be able to walk down the stairs due to the pain. And that's not a life I wanted for my son. So now I've implemented the strategies, and it's very much the same what I'm doing with the potential. Well, I'm 99% sure that I am at least ADHD, if not autistic as well. So I'm wanting to put those techniques and strategies in place now rather than waiting the 10 years that's on the NHS waiting list to actually get help. I will help myself first and make sure that I can help others at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. I mean, that seems to be the case no matter who I'm talking to is, oh, I'm on the waiting list to be tested because it's a year in the making just to get an appointment. No matter what country you're at, no matter who you're talking to, it's like, I see it in my son and I see those traits in myself. I want to get tested, but they say you got to be put on the waiting list, and that waiting list puts you a year in a wait to wait for it.
Well, that's the thing as well, because people are more aware of it. Schools are seeing it more in the children, and it's when you look at yourself that it's then. I think there's been a research study about it being hereditary. Now, I don't think my son is autistic or ADHD, but I think he's got a lot of the learnt behaviours from what I do. But it's something that I'm obviously going to keep a lookout for as well. I do see it in my dad. So I do see the link going down and the potential of my mum being as well. But yeah, I went on the waiting list in 2021
So you're still
and
waiting.
I got a letter. Think it was some point this week, I got a letter basically saying the NHS are overstretched and you could be waiting another 10 years.
Oh, God.
So it's a case of go private, go down the right to choose. I don't have an issue with right to choose, but from what my doctor told me back in 2021, if they decide that medication would help, I'd have to go back on the NHS waiting list regardless. So it's that catch 22. Do I go and get the diagnosis to end up back at square one, or do I just stay put and implement the strategies that I'm researching and studying along the way?
That seems to be one of the biggest issues with people is the fact that if I want to get medicated, then they need to get diagnosed. But to get diagnosed, you got to be put on this list, and that list lasts a long time. So it's a matter of how do I balance my life without medicine to the point to where I can control myself, where I can navigate my ADHD and deal with life.
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, I've always said that I'm not particularly looking for more medication because of the fibro and the vasculitis and that side of things. I'm on all kinds of medication anyway, so an extra tablet, I rattle as I walk. It's a running joke. So I could do without another medication, but I'm open to what the professionals say. And if they say I'd benefit, then to me, it's worth a try. So I don't want to rule anything out, but equally, I'm quite happy implementing the strategies as well.
So
So it doesn't make it easy.
how do you deal with your anxiety? Are you on any kind of medication for it, or do you like come up with routines that help you deal with it?
So the anxiety side, I'm on citalopram and propranolol to ease the anxiety. But I've also got PTSD, so I do a lot of kind of risk assessments in my mind before I go out anywhere. Typically, apart from taking my son to school and having the drive home on my own or driving to pick him up, I don't go places on my own in the car. More out of that safeguarding side for me. I guess safeguarding is probably the wrong word. My son knows how to calm me down if I start to panic, as do the other people that would be in the car. So it's more that I feel safer knowing that I've got someone there. But yeah, a lot of risk assessments, mental risk assessments. I've learned breathing exercises. I've learned the 5-4-3-2-1 method. So finding five things you can see, four things you can smell to ground you. I also do a lot of crystal work, and literally I'm covered in my crystals that protect me as well. So I think it's all part of a mindset thing, and I do a lot of work to help my mindset and to bring things in. But that isn't to say that it's easy. So for anyone listening, I take it one step at a time. Like literally, if I'm having a really bad day, I take it half an hour at a time and just make those little steps forward. But you can see why other people can struggle on their own.
Now, with ADHD, how do you handle running two businesses? Because I know it can get hectic at times because I know people who have started many businesses because of their ADHD, and then they just feel so overwhelmed, they start to say, okay, let's shut this down, let's shut this down, let's shut this down. How do you handle two?
Again, it's not easy. I find the ADHD people pleaser in me helps me with the admin and coaching business because I'll always strive to bend over backwards and go all in with someone and their company to help them grow. I literally had a phone call this morning with my coach and was saying to her, it's very easy to keep things running in terms of doing the work for other people. Doing the work for myself tends to get left. So I've got a few clients that in the UK, we've got a program called Access to Work, which basically can give you a support worker, so a VA or a coach, and it's funded through the government. So I've got clients that are on Access to Work. So I'm not having to stress about being paid by them if they're struggling. The government are paying. And with that, I've also got my own support worker that I can split across both businesses. It's only 9 hours a week, but that helps a lot. And I think a lot of it's the forward thinking. Like I say, with a tinge bit of sparkle, the crystals, we do physical markets. So we're there in person and sell to people. We're still in the process of getting all the stock on the website, which is something my support worker's helping me with because that is very overwhelming. But a lot of what keeps the business running is wanting to please people. I have that chronic rejection sensitivity, and if a client isn't happy, and that how that could unfold and impact the business would break me. Therefore, I have to be 100% and helping and bending over backwards for them. So if anyone leaves or loses their funding, that then creates the issue. So that's where I'm trying at the minute to implement the strategies to get things in place to constantly have a flow of people on retainers. So I don't have to panic about bringing new people in. I'm also looking to launch an admin and accountability membership in January, which is there to help businesses and people in the same position as me dedicate that time to their own business. And you're getting me and a community of other people in the same position all there to support each other. So I think that'll work really well from January to help more people too.
That seems to be the biggest issue is there are so many of us like who are neurodivergent out there who need help. And the biggest fight is the fight with the government. It's you're not giving us enough support. What do you want us to do? And then there's the other side of the fight. I don't want to be labeled as disabled because I'm not disabled. I'm able to do this. But what people don't realize is you get that label, it helps you because then that gets you your support.
But even once you've got the support, learning how to use it to benefit you the most takes time. I actually help people to apply for the likes of Access to Work and apply for grant funding and things like that. Again, the people pleasing power and the deadlines works wonders.
Now let's
I
go
just
back.
need to implement it myself.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your ADHD. When you discovered from watching your TikTok videos that you had ADHD, did that feel like blinders were lifted off of your eyes and all of a sudden your whole world just started to make sense to you?
Yes, very much. I've always felt like the black sheep, the outsider, and the realization that it wasn't down to anything I'd ever done. I remember so many birthday parties that I was left crying in the corner because people weren't doing things exactly the way I needed it to be done. But not understanding why I needed it to be done in that way. So having the awareness videos and other people's experiences brought to light, it was a sense of relief that I'm not weird, I'm not alone. Do you know what I mean? Like
I mean,
everyone has their own normal and everyone's unique, but I've felt broken for so long.
I think that's how we all felt when before we get our diagnosis is why am I so different from everybody else? Why is everyone accomplishing their work before me? And you just look at yourselves like, is there something wrong with me? And then when we get this diagnosis, it's like, and the doctors sit there or whoever we talk to, your therapist, they're like, this is why you are the way you are. It's like a light just shines right down on us, like, oh, this explains everything. I remember.
Even to the link with fibro as well. I've read a lot about fibromyalgia being linked to neurodiversity and the chronic fatigue that comes with that, feeling lazy. I will openly say, 9 times out of 10 at this time, I'm in bed. I pick my son up from school, we come and sleep, and then I get up 6, 7 o'clock at night and start again. And I've always thought that you're just being lazy, but I literally get to the point that I can't keep my eyes open. It's physically draining. So to hear that that was something that other people experience and it isn't necessarily down to the chronic pain was massive. But there's so many interlinking symptoms across the board. No wonder it's difficult for doctors.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your businesses. How did they get started?
So in 2018, I was working at the Yorkshire Post and was getting made redundant. I'd worked there for near on 10 years. And in that time, I'd had my son, I'd been diagnosed with multiple illnesses, and the fear of not being able to find a job terrified me. As a single mum as well, I'm the only person that can bring money into the house. And I was trying to think of ways outside the box to be able to bring money in. And I thought up office admin solutions. The issue was my mum then got into my head and imposter syndrome kicked in. And it was along the lines of my mum had always been employed, so thought that that was the safest option. Which obviously I now see it is irrelevant. So I ended up going for 33 interviews in a 2 week period, and out of all the jobs that I went for, I got offered the one that I didn't want. It was 40 hours a week. So I'd gone from working 24 hours a week with illnesses to having to jump up to 40 hours a week with travel time and everything on top of that. And because of the imposter syndrome kicking in, it was okay, I have to do it. I'll build the business in the background, but it'll be fine. I'd been there a year and then COVID hit. So because I was clinically vulnerable, I got sent to work from home. So as I was doing the work, I was doing research and other things in the background. And started to do a bit of background checking. Office Admin Solutions was already a business on Companies House. So then A&T, Office Admin Solutions, was born, basically standing for Amy and Tyler. So it's our business. But with doing that, I then had a way that it could be franchised out as well for people putting their initials at the front of it. Then what happened? Things were going on at work, obviously. I was trying to homeschool, work 40 hours a week. There was no leeway, so I was ended up working from 7 in the morning till 2, 3 o'clock the next morning, and I was mentally drained. And in the November, after I'd been there for 2 years, I handed in a sick note because I literally was at burnout. I couldn't do it. And then because of that, I then started looking for the clients, and found someone that needed me full time. So I was able to switch out, do a lot less hours. So I was able to recover from the burnout, help another business. And my initial client was a coach as well, so helped me along the way. Within the time of COVID, a coach, Danielle Hobson, did a 7 day free challenge on Facebook, start a business in 7 days. So I was obviously implementing A&T, bringing the structure in, and Tyler shouts up from behind me. We have two desks in our office at home. He shouts up behind me, "Can I join in? I've got an idea." And he created little positive affirmation jars, wanting to spread love and positivity to family members and people that were in our position shielding that weren't able to have that physical contact, but felt that they needed the reminder that they weren't alone, they were being thought about. And that's how A Tinge Bit of Sparkle was born. He came up with the name. It was initially a little bit of sparkle. And when I did the future proofing, that was already taken. It was a clothing company in London. So Tyler was £5.12 when he was born and nicknamed Tingy. So we incorporated his nickname into the business. He helped design the logo. He did all the pictures and the prototypes of the jars. And then my initial client and coach at the time challenged us to do in-person markets. to which you can't really turn up at a market with six jars in the middle of a 10-foot table. So we then expanded out into crystal jewellery. We'd done all the research together on what crystals work best with what affirmation. Like I say, the hyper focus really kicked in. So both of us got that crystal knowledge, and it's just grown from there, really. So both businesses are very much there to help others and support others. They follow the same mission and the same ethos. We have the same values across the board. It's just some people need the help personally and spiritually, and others need it in business. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to help across the board. Obviously, if people are into crystals, it's not something that I push on to people either. I don't like people pushing their beliefs. I'm completely pro-choice. So, but the knowledge is there if they need it and if they want it. I'll happily sit and talk them through things as well.
All right, now let's talk a little bit about your contribution to the book. How did that come about?
So one of my clients was a client of Mandy's. Mandy was also a mentor in NeuroBoost, which was said client. And I'd been talking to the client for a while, and she was like, "I really think Mandy's got an opportunity for you." I'm like, okay. So I jumped on a call. I didn't really know how I would fit in and if my story would share value. But on reading the chapters that she had in mind and the titles for the chapters, I resonated with so many of them. And we jumped on a call, and she went through the details, and I kind of mentioned about my story. Explained there were a couple of elements that I could go down, not really knowing what was needed and required. And ultimately, I think now looking back, I kept it fairly basic after hearing some of the other authors read their chapters at the launch. But I think it was the initial story that of how I felt growing up and how that impacted me in employment and why I've moved into self-employment really explains me as a person. And I don't know, there might be other opportunities down the line where I write a full book, or I'm definitely in another book next year, which is thank God it's Monday. So I think there's a lot of other places that I could take my life in terms of the story. But as that was my first writing opportunity, I felt that I needed to keep it where it all began, if that makes sense. So it very much states about experiences growing up and not fitting in, and the reasons why everything now is falling into place. And having been at the launch, it was last Friday, the group of women that I met, I felt so at home. And I've never felt like that before. There was no judgment. Everyone was in the same boat. They fully understood what position we were all in business. Obviously, there's multiple people in at different levels of their business, but they've all been there at the start. So you could appreciate everyone else's story. And it was really interesting how the chapters cross over a lot. So as much as reading other people's now, I look back and think I could have put so much more into it I think I needed to tell the start of the story at the same time.
So, what was it like sharing your life to see your story become part of a book that's now a bestseller?
It's scary, but I think if my story could help one person that's in the process of realizing that they're neurodivergent or in business with a chronic illness, and able to do it and flip things to a positive, then that makes me happy. It's not going to help everyone. That's why Mandy's put 30 real life stories in the book, so that at least one chapter is going to resonate with everyone. But yeah, in a way, it's scary realizing that my part of my life is on paper and will be there forever. But the other part, if I can help someone, then that's amazing.
Now, you had mentioned you also thought you may be autistic. What traits do you feel you have?
The needing things to be organized, there's a lot of different things. I can be quite particular and need things to be structured, but then the ADHD side's going, no, you just need to go and do it. And it feels like there's a constant battle, more so than just having everything going on. My brain doesn't stop at the best of times. But to sit down and actually do work, I need to have things structured, and doing that in a life that's chaotic feels backwards. I don't know. Like I say, it's more with the awareness videos that I see, the need for dim lights.
Like the
Go on,
videos that
sorry.
sit there and go, all right, and your five fingers, we're gonna list off things, and you're just going, I got that, got that, got that, got that, got that, and you're just like realizing, oh wow,
But
that's
it's
me.
things that I don't realize are traits per se. I think there's obviously a lot of different aspects to everything, ADHD and autism, the different ways of learning. I can't now, I'm struggling to read and take things in. So I have to sit and listen. And even listening, I'm not guaranteed to be able to take it in.
I know that too. I know that for a fact. In grammar school, or high school actually, we were in my history class, we were told to take notes from the movies. And my mind is like, what do I take from it? I don't know what part is factual, what part is fictional, and what part is important to history. My mind's just sitting there like there's too much going on. What do I grab?
I take things very literal as well, which is something, again, I didn't realize was an autistic trait.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge autistic trait.
Yeah, stuff like that. And then it's looking back and going, ah, that makes sense. I watched a video earlier today and it was more the ADHD side, but looking at a textbook and highlighting everything that's important. And I could literally colour the full book in, which is like what you were saying with the film. You don't know which parts are and aren't, so it's safer to cover the full lot.
Here's a question for you. Were
Go
you the
on.
type of person in school when you're taking an exam, you see somebody get up before you and you think to yourself, oh, I need to hurry up. I don't want to be the last one here. And then you, especially if you're doing a you're in a non-timed room with other people and you're not realizing in your head they're taking different tests than me. You don't think that. I mean,
No,
always been my issue is I don't think they're taking different tests. I'm thinking they're taking everyone here is taking the same test. I need to hurry. And then I hurry for my exam and I wind up with a lower grade.
Either that, or I would go completely dead. My brain would literally, like, it hit reset, and there'd be nothing there. And I'm like, but I know this. Tests were a real struggle. I was good with project work that I could sit and deep dive and hyper focus on and get it done. But doing the actual test, it either disappeared, or, like you say, the amount of people in the room, you'd see
Distract
everyone
you.
writing around you as if they know what they're on about. And I'd sit there going, I don't know what I'm doing.
Are you the same type of person that feels like when you get to an exam, you're like, how am I supposed to regurgitate all this information? I don't remember all of this.
Constantly. It's awful. It's an awful feeling, especially when you know 2 years later it's all going to come back to you. My short-term memory is shocking. And then, yeah, I can remember what happened when I was 6 years old in a classroom. Granted, it might be a trigger point, but I can remember what happened, and it's like, but I can't remember why I walked into a room. I lose my phone constantly throughout the day, or my vape. One or the other vanishes way too much, and I think that people are moving it around my house. The fact that there's only me and the cats and Tyler in the house is impossible, but they vanish that frequently.
Well, I feel the same way because it's just me and my mom. We lost my dad in 2017. So anytime my phone would be missing, or I'd always look up and I go, Dad, are you playing a trick on me? Or, I mean, one of my biggest things with school is I'm a visual learner. I don't know. Are you a visual learner?
I think I'm a cross between visual and auditory. I like to be able to map things out, and I'm a sucker for to-do lists and things like that. But in terms of reading a text, I need to listen to it to take it in fully, or I read the same thing 10 times and might take two words out of it.
I know that feeling. I used to be an avid reader, and then all of a sudden it's like I'll pick up a book, I'll start reading, and I'll put it down, and I'll forget about it, and then I'll come back to it later. And I'll start reading. I'm like, wait a minute. I remember reading this chapter. I don't want to reread it. And I'll just put it back down and then just totally forget about it.
Yeah, it's a nightmare, especially like you say, the amount of things that you can start and never finish.
Yes.
It's something that really bugs me, which is what I help other people combat to get to the end of a task. I just need to implement it on myself more.
I know there are so many things so many special interests I've gotten into, and all of a sudden, because of my ADHD, I just totally forget about them or I lose interest in them.
Which I'm kind of proud in terms of both businesses. They've both been going since 2021. And we're getting there. We're progressing every year. So I don't know if that's the fact that I've left work and my brain sees it as this is your job, or if we've just found something. And don't get me wrong, there's aspects that we add into and take away from and whatnot. We can develop it around ourselves. But I'm quite proud in the achievement that we've kept the names for 3 years and not tweaked them or changed them. I've rebranded twice.
Man, that's the problem with having ADHD is your mind is constantly going. You got a million thoughts going for your head, million ideas and you act on them and you realize, oh wait, I just rebranded. Are people still going to remember that this is the same company with a different name?
Yeah, I had to so we kept the name, I just changed the branding. But I did it last month. So I had to quickly design new business cards because I didn't want to send the old logo out for the book launch event. So I literally had to quickly design these business cards and make sure they were on brand with the new logo. But yeah, we will throw ourselves into silly things like that, won't we?
Oh yeah, I've had that where I recently changed my logo for my podcast
Right.
because of the fact that the company that I had design it didn't feel legit to me at the end. They were supposed to copyright my logo. They sent me this copy of a receipt. I never got information from the copyright department about my logo being copyrighted. And every time I tried to contact him, I just felt like they were putting me through a loop.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? It's a new year. I'm going to redesign my logo.
And get it copyrighted officially.
I will do that officially. And then I also changed hosts, which podcast hosts, which didn't affect anything, but I need to remember to bring the download numbers with me to when I tell people how many downloads I have for my show. But it's
That
our
makes sense.
and our minds are just constantly working. I have a gazillion ideas I want to do, but it's like I can't do it all because it's just, so my mom says I'm all over the place.
Yeah. A good idea is, it's what I tell people to do, what I tell clients to do, is do a big brain dump every week. So get a sheet of paper and get everything out of your brain onto this piece of paper. And then from that, you can break it down further into smaller tasks to actually develop a plan of how to get there. And the bonus is because you're breaking it down further, you've got more boxes to tick off, which is easier to do. And then you're getting the dopamine hit for ticking them off or crossing them out.
Now,
Which,
yeah. Now, with
yeah.
ADHD comes running thoughts. How do you deal with that?
I don't know. How do you mean? So one in five people have ADHD.
Running thoughts are basically our minds are just constantly going. How do you sleep with your mind constantly on the constantly turning.
With difficulty, I've actually started having a fan in my room to have the white noise. But even that doesn't help. I mean, last night I'd napped through the day because I was exhausted, but then last night it was gone half 4, 5 o'clock when my brain was quiet enough to go to sleep. So today's kind of been run on autopilot. In a way, it can be good because you're getting all the ideas and you're getting the inspiration to do new things. But it can be exhausting. And it doesn't help with the anxiety levels either, because it can bring in bad things into your brain. You're more likely to think of the worst case scenarios, which when you have anxiety as well, equals panic attacks. Obviously, I've got a few strategies to combat that. But yeah, it's not easy.
And finally, where can people find out all about you and your two businesses and get a hold of the book?
So the book is currently on Amazon for Kindle users. It should be available on Amazon on the 22nd of October, for the paperback and hardback. I am at www.officeadminsolutions.co.uk and www.atinchy, TINCHY, bitofsparkle.co.uk. Or you can find me on Facebook under Amy Mandel with a J on the end. I'm quite fortunate that I'm the only Amy Mandel on Facebook, which a lot of people struggle with. But it means that I'm easy to find for people to contact.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Reid Miles. That was Amy Mandel. I'll see you in the next one. See you around, everybody. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you very much.